Well, why don't we start up? Welcome to Greek Club, and many thanks to Dr. Oswald for filling in last week. And we'll pick up at chapter 3, and we'll do verse 1, and just get a running start again that way. So we'll just read it and then do a little language. So the apostle writes, O anae ta galatai, tis humas evaskanen, hois kat aftalmus Jesus Christos pro egraphe es dauromenos. So he begins this kind of the main argument of the epistle here in chapter 3 after this crucial paragraph 2:15-21. And he starts out almost as sternly as he ever gets with them. Particle O there is really quite emphatic. And remember that the letter is being heard, not read with the eye. So, and then anaitos is an adjective. It means foolish or mindless, right? You can see the alpha privative on there. So, O foolish Galatians. Now, just as an isagogical or an introductory note, there is a big debate about who are the Galatians and where are they. I don't even think we talked about this when we started reading Galatians. And it's one of those great scholarly debates that doesn't actually matter much. But there's an endless discussion, not so much in maybe the current generation, about the so-called North Galatia theory and the South Galatia theory and all that stuff. So, anyway, part of the question is who would have understood themselves to be Galatai, right? So having mentioned that, we won't solve it. So, O foolish Galatians, tis is the interrogative pronoun, right? So, who you bewitched? This is from baskaino. And it actually follows one of the common patterns for the liquid stem verbs, where in the aorist, the alpha drops out of the stem and you get the new. So, baskan is the third principal part. So this is just an aorist indicative active third singular with a movable nu. So who bewitched you? And then this is a little awkward because in English we're not used to doing pronouns correctly either. To whom, the relative pronoun, according to eyes, that must mean something like visibly or publicly, Jesus Christ, there's the subject, and then pro grapho means, in the first place, not surprisingly, to write in advance, but it also comes to mean to publicly portray, at least according to the lexicon. And that's the way it's often taken here. Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So proegraphe is actually an aorist indicative passive. You might pray for the theta eta, right? But it's a strong stem, and so the theta simply is not there. So the sixth principal part of grapho is agraphane. Right? So this is aorist indicative passive, third singular. Jesus Christ was portrayed having been crucified. And estauromenos is actually a perfect participle. You don't get ses, you get s for the duplication. From Stauro, as having been in a crucified state. If you ever do something like that. So not too bad, pretty straightforward, fairly short sentence.
That's good.
Yeah.
Proegraphe.
Yes.
So, like I see the eta.
Yes.
But is that, can that just be like third singular, you know, like the paradigm? Or is it, like, I don't see why it would be the passive.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the see the temporal augment, right, Dave? Talking about proegraphane. So it has to be a past time indicative of some sort, right? So, almost by process of elimination, you could do it. The eta does follow the pattern of the aorist passive, like luo, a luthane, face, they.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and. It's just one of those strong principal parts that you kind of have to memorize. If you don't have it memorized, you look it up.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So if it were an aorist active, grapho goes to grapso. So the aorist active would be agrapsa, agrapsas, agrapsa. So it has the epsilon, not the eta. So, yep. So, and I know that because I'm slightly over 6 feet and it's my job. Right. I fixed a headlight on my car yesterday. I was very proud of myself. I unscrewed the screws, took that baby out, went to the auto parts store, bought a new one, put it in. So.
Got a mangle grate?
Who cares? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess I'll wait till they pull me over. So, yeah, right. I just put the screws back in the way they were. Good. All right. Verse 2. Now, Paul has a kind of a series of rhetorical questions here to bring things to roost for the Galatians. Tuta manan thelo ma thane af himon ex ergon namu ta ptuma elavita a ex aquais pistos. So, first part, we have fellow is the verb, right? I want this only. Ma thane is from anybody? The first principal part, dictionary form. It's quite strong.
Manthano.
It's from manthano. Okay. And the third principal part is emathon. So it's really very strong. This is actually the manthano and means to learn, and a learner is a mathetes. That's one way actually to remember, because the emathon looks pretty much like mathetes when you get to the third principal part. So this is the aorist infinitive active from manthano, to learn. So this only I wish to learn from you, aphumon. And now he asks a question. Excuse me. By works of the law, the spirit you received, Elabita, see that's our friend from Lambano, and Pthuma would be the direct object, and our little friend A, with a smooth breathing and an accent, is not a relative pronoun, but it's the little word or, right? Or, by the akoe, the hearing of faith, question mark, right? There's kind of a discussion on this last phrase. What exactly does the hearing of faith mean? I actually was looking at some notes earlier. If you drop down to verse 14 on the next page, the final henna clause, Paul says, in order that we might receive, lavomen, the promise of the Spirit through faith. So here in that verse, he explicitly says, you receive the Spirit through faith. And in verse 2, he asks, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? And so I think we can use verse 14 to kind of understand that phrase, hearing of faith. Something like maybe a subjective genitive, that is, faith hears, the hearing which faith does, or something like that. Or maybe even what we call, I love these categories, an epexegetical genitive, the hearing which is faith. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, something like that. So we can get tolerably close and even feel good about ourselves because we placed a fancy grammatical label on a genitive modifier. And we all know that's the great goal of life, is to be able to do that, right? And of course, he wants them to answer the question in the right way, that is, the hearing of faith. Because remember, these are Gentile converts, and the Judaizers have come in behind Paul later on. He did not insist that they keep the law of Moses, especially food laws, circumcision, things like that. But now the Judaizers have come in, and he's calling them back to their roots. Right? Did you initially receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay? All good? Verse 2? Okay, verse 3. Houtos, here it comes again, anaetai esta en arxamenoi pneumate nun sarki epitelesta. So houtos is an adverb, means thus or in this way. Thus are you anoitoi, foolish, mindless. Right? And now we have a participle, en arxamenoi. This would be from en arco, or en arcomai, means to begin. And it would be aorist, participle, middle, and has an active meaning. So literally, beginning, now we've got pneumata, which is dative, right? So beginning in or by the Spirit, now, and sarke is also dative singular, now by the flesh, epitelesta. This is from epiteleo, means to complete, and it could parse as either a present indicative middle or passive because of the se ending. And it's usually taken as passive here. After you have begun by or in the Spirit, now are you being completed in the flesh or by the flesh? Remember that the issue in Galatia is, in a sense, now that you've become a Christian, what does it mean to stay a Christian? What does it mean to be a full-fledged Christian, if you will? And so the issue is not really so much about conversion, about being initially justified by faith, but it's really equally as much about how you stay a Christian. And the answer is not by works of the law, but by the hearing of faith.
If we ignore the punctuation as a possible, we'll take that as an imperative.
Yes, it's the same form, right? Right. Let's see, would that make good sense to take that as imperative? Thus are you foolish, after beginning in the Spirit, now be completed in the flesh. It could be ironic or sarcastic, maybe, something like that. Is that kind of what you're thinking, Ben? Yeah. Right.
For the beginning part, mm-hmm. Thus you are foolish. So for the question that thus you are foolish, as a statement, then the question would be the next part. Or is it holding the question?
Are you foolish in this way? After beginning in the Spirit, you are being completed. Probably take the whole thing as a question. Right, right. Yep, and that's the way it's typically taken and punctuated that way too. So
the answer to the question is no.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, right. Process.
Yeah, right, yeah, 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 right, right. Right.
I'll stick with the punctuation in the text.
Yeah, right, right, yeah. It's happy Reformation punctuation. Yeah, right, right. So, yeah, and again, what this does, of course, is that it does reveal, this question reveals that the key issue is not beginning as believers, but continuing, right? So it's by faith, it's by the Spirit, from beginning to end, right? And this is actually an issue, in the church today, obviously. Christians get all snookered around and thinking that, well, what it reminds me of is this kind of false dichotomy that you sometimes hear, perhaps more often from evangelical Christians. Jesus is your Savior, but is He really your Lord? Now, they may be trying to do something positive by saying that, but it's a very unfortunate way of saying it. Okay, good. Anything else? We can take 4 and 5 together, I think. Verse 4. Tos auta epathe eke. And then don't you love a sentence like this? The average word length is like 2.3 letters. Ege kai eke. Right? And we'll take verse 5. Ha un epi choregon humin ta pneuma kai energon dynames en humin. Ex ergon namu, e ex akois pistos. So Paul returns back to that dichotomy that he introduced in verse 2, the works of the law and the hearing of the faith. So verse 4, the first word is it's a kind of a pronoun. Tos utos means so great or so much, so many, especially in the plural. So this is, so you actually get this by taking tos, and then you take you separate it, and you see you've got auta, which would be the, what, in this case, neuter plural accusative pronoun. So many great things, or so many things, and then the verb epatheta. Now, this is a little bit of a tough one as well. Anybody know what this is from? This is a banner day. Nobody knows, not even Ben. This is actually from Pasco. to suffer, to experience. And the third principal part of Pascha was epaphon.
I was thinking it was epi plus something. I was trying to
Where's the ah? Yeah, it was actually part of the stem. So the epsilon is a augment, and the stem is pot, and it's from Pascha, to suffer or experience, right? And so this is, yeah. You know, a long time ago, a student wrote a kind of a funny Greek song that he called 16 Verbs. It's patterned after Tennessee Ernie Ford's 16 Tons. You guys know that song? You parse 16 verbs, and what do you get? Another quiz butchered, and you're starting to sweat. Anyway, one of the stanzas talk about the mind that's weak when the verbs are strong. It's pretty funny. I'll sing it for you sometime, but only if you promise to give me a dark beer after I do it. So, yeah, that could happen. Yeah, right. Yeah, I have it in my files. I have this humor file in my file. I have another one called Graduate School is Hell, but I'll bring that. I'll make you copies maybe next week. Yeah. So it's a question, and it's an aorist indicative. So in King James it would be, suffered ye so great things. Ake is an adverb, means in vain, right? And in normal English today we'd say, did you suffer or did you experience so many things in vain? And now we have A, which is if, and it has an accent because ge behind it is enclitic. That is, it doesn't have an accent. And when you have two enclitics in a row, then you have a dark beer. No, the first one takes an accent. So that's why A actually has an accent. It's just our friend if. Okay. So A, ge, kai, ake. And ge is one of these little words that kind of intensifies, so it's usually translated, if indeed, also, in vain. And so you have to supply something like, if indeed it was also in vain, or something like that.
Is AK a particle, or is that a dative singular?
It's a particle. It's just an adverb, yeah. It's indeclinable, I think. Yeah, right.
Okay.
So it's one of those words you look up, right? You know, we used to have these. This song. You guys know what a parsing guide is? Nowadays, you can just point and click, you know, and get the parsing. But a parsing guide is a book that has all the forms in it, and you just look them up, you know, because you can't figure it out. And everybody needs to have one because everybody has a bad day or maybe a bad week. Anyway, this song, 16 verbs. The chorus goes, "You parse 16 verbs. What do you get? Another quiz butchered and you're starting to sweat. St. James," referring to James Bells, "St. James, don't call on me because I can't hide. I sold my soul for a parsing guide." So, and it works better if you snap your fingers. So we'll maybe do it the week after next or something like that. So, So, did you suffer such great things in vain, if indeed also in vain? Verse 4. And then verse 5, we have therefore un, which is post-positive, which is why it's in second place, and we have the article ha on two participles. Epikoregon is from epikoregeo, which you have to look up because it's not a common verb. It means to provide or supply something. Okay, and it's an epsilon contract verb, and that's why it has the circumflex. It's a present participle active, masculine singular nominative. The other participle is energon, about five words later. See it? That's from energeo. And you have the one article governing both participles with a chi in between. So, therefore, and just reading that far, the one who provides to you the Spirit and works powers among you. Dynames is accusative plural, actually, form from dynamis, power. And then you kind of have to back up and ask it in the form of a question because we don't have a verb. Woodenly, it would be, therefore, the one who provides to you the Spirit and works powers among you by works of the law or by hearing of faith. And so what you'd probably provide is a verb like, does the one who works, who provides the Spirit and work powers among you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith or something like that. So, yeah, that's a nice liturgical response. Huh. Yeah. So, well, I mentioned that Galatians would be a little harder than the Sermon on the Mount, so, yeah. But you just get used to it. Time, right? Now, you do see this. This is actually, this has a name, actually. It's called Granville-Sharp's Rule. The grammars call it that. When you have one article, and then a noun or something that's acting like a noun, and then you have a chi, and then another noun, or something that's acting like a noun. In this case, we have article, participle, chi, participle, right? See it? Ha, epi, korrigon, da-da-da, chi, and ergon. And when you have that pattern, and some other conditions are supplied, which I don't need to mention now, what it does is it nails down for you that you're not talking about two different nouns here, you're not referring to two different people. It's the same person. So God, presumably, is the one who provides to the Spirit and works powers among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing, which is faith, or the hearing that faith does, or something like that? And again, the expected answer is the hearing of faith, right? Which actually provides the segue into verse 6. Just as Abraham believed, da-da-da-da-da, and Paul quotes Genesis 15. So these verses 1 to 5 are really kind of a very distinct rhetorical lead-in into the primacy of faith, not primacy, but the exclusive validity of faith as opposed to works of the law for, again, not just initial justification, but for ongoing life in the Spirit. And in fact, last week, verse 20 was read. And this is actually key. I think verse 20 is more important for Galatians than people sometimes realize, where Paul says, and I am living no longer, zo de uketi ego, back in 2:20. Then he says, ze de en emoi Christos, but Christ is living in me, and, literally, which now I am living in the flesh, en piste zo, by faith I am living, and now let's modify faith, which is of the Son of God who loved me and handed himself over on my behalf. So it's not just that you start to live by faith, but the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so there's actually, again, some real contemporary payoff for the Christian life today, because the problem of human performance sneaking in a sense, behind the gospel, you know, is a perennial problem. So, okay, that's 1 to 5, and then we'll get us started, and we'll pick up at verse 6 next week. So, thank you very much.